I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 15, some very familiar scripture. I'll try not to hold you very long. One of the areas of failure, as Brother Rusty has preached so great to us, one of the areas of failure that God has put on my heart this past year as we have traveled among the holiness people is so many times when people get hurt or face problems and have difficulties one with another, even in the church, there is a battle of people being reconciled one with another and forgiving one another. And that's what I want to preach on, if the Lord will help us for a little bit this morning, is reconciliation. Reconciliation. Being reconciled. And so many times, if you sin against God, you can go to God in private, and as has been mentioned, the Lord will hide that iniquity. You can confess and repent and go on with your life. But sometimes when you have sinned against your brother, the only way to clear your conscience is to go to your brother and to get that thing worked out. I've preached revivals in churches. There was such a spirit of binding, oppression spirit there. And the only reason it was there, it wasn't the standard. They held a good standard. But it was that there was a friction, brother against brother, sister against sister. And if certain one was testifying or singing, then a certain group would get in. If another was singing, another group would get in. There was just such a division. And you know, that's a miserable state to be in. To come to church and really not to even look forward to going to church. When you get there, such a critical spirit. And I'm not here just to fall on us. I'm here to help us this morning. But I want to preach to us a little bit about being reconciled and reconciliation. The book of Luke chapter 15, verse number 25. It says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Amen. I'd like to preach for a little bit, as we said, if the Lord will help us, about reconciliation, being reconciled. And I want you to go with me in your minds. The biggest nation is imagination, Brother MacDonald said. So I want you to imagine with me these two boys, this home. And the Bible picks this up in the 11th verse and just starts out, "A certain man had two sons." We don't know the history of this family. One thing I've noticed through reading this scripture is there is no mother that is mentioned in this text. I don't know if she has passed away, or she's just a silent partner through all this. But it almost seems as if this home could be, in one sense, running parallel with today in our homes. There's never been a time where the family has been so dysfunctional as it is today. We see here in this text a father and two sons. And I believe I read not long ago that it finally broke over 50%. For a long time, it was hovering around that era that when two people get married, now the statistics is over 50% of every marriage will end in divorce. And so we see a home here that is dysfunctional in one sense of the word. There is not the mother and the father, but one of them is not spoke of or is not present. And so here is this father trying to do the very best that he can to raise these two sons. No doubt he is still laboring and working and trying to be a provider, but also spiritually he's trying to provide for them and trying to give them direction. And as these two boys begin to grow up, don't know the exact difference in age, but I don't doubt one bit where there was some closeness there. They probably played together and they fought together and they did a lot of things and they grew close. There was many first things they did together, many memories, many good times that they had. And I got to thinking about how that in church, you know, there's nothing like when you first get saved. The church that you get saved in, the people that's around you, and maybe even people that pray during the same time that you prayed. There's just something special about that. You go to revivals together. You have those memories that's made together of camp meetings and of special services and when you got the Holy Ghost and when God moved. And there's a closeness there. Maybe there's a family or an individual in your life that when you first got in, you was just knit together with them. You fellowship with them. There was a closeness there. But you see, so many times, just like here in the Word of the Lord, as time goes by, there begins to be changes in people's lives. And so here we see one young man that seems to be very compliant. It seems to be whatever the father said, it was almost as if he accepted it and without question. But then the other son was very different. He was always questioning why. His mind was always wondering, and he was always enticed by the things of the world. It seems like today, we homeschool, of course, our children, and the way that we travel, and I know many of you homeschool or have Christian schools, but you can take your child and try to, so to speak, protect the environment that they are in. Put them in a Christian setting, put them in a homeschool setting. And you do all these things trying to help your child get to heaven. Amen. Trying your best. And I feel like this father with both of these boys, he probably did everything within his power to see that they served the Lord, that they started in a good direction. But just like today, there is so much that is pulling at young people. Amen. I pray for my girls, that as they grow up and mature, that God will put a shield around them, that God will put a desire in their heart for holiness. And it amazes me sometimes my girls will come to me and they'll say, Dad, so-and-so in the church, or a young person, or a teenager, they said a bad word, or they've got bad music in their car they're listening to, or they're this, or they're that. And I'm glad they come to me. I'm glad it bothers them. But oh, there'll come a time in their life where they'll have the opportunities to make decisions on their own. You know, your child is all that you do to protect that child. In just a few minutes, they can slip out and be listening to bad music or looking at bad magazines or be on the internet looking at things that they shouldn't. Shout amen. I mean, you can do all that you can to try to protect them. And here was two boys. One just seemed to fall right in line, but the other had a spirit that he desired to look into that far country. He wanted to know what it was like, and the lights charmed him, and the desire, maybe one service he would be in the altar praying, ready to pray through. He wanted to fast. He wanted to do something for God. But then the very next week there would be such a pull from that far country. And all of a sudden, the same young man, the same young lady that was singing the songs of Zion, amen, is listening and doing things that brings conviction to their heart. And so there's a difference here as they're growing up. They begin, no doubt, to drift apart. The younger son may resent his brother and his compliant ways. The elder brother begins to resent his younger brother and his rebellion and the way he's turning away from God. Is that the way sometimes that things happens with us? Even among ourselves in church. If we're not careful, I believe in holiness. I preach it. I believe in it. I live it. Shout amen. But
But even sometimes, if we're not careful, when we believe in holiness, we'll look at someone else among our church that maybe is struggling in certain areas, doing things we wouldn't do, doing things that's maybe not even right. And if we're not careful, we'll get such a spirit about us until we'll begin to tell others, you know, we don't think much of them, they're hypocrites, or we begin to run our mouth against them. They begin to come in, maybe go to the altar or whatever they do, and it's like you drift further and further apart because of that difference, maybe even in beliefs that are essential. But the devil wants to, what the devil wants to do among the holiness people is he wants to divide us one with another. Not just the ministry, even though he would like that, but to come down to one church, to one individual, and begin to push and divide and separate in such a manner. Amen. That when you come to service, the services are bound up and the Spirit of the Lord is not present. That the power of God is not moving. The captive is not being set free. Amen. And you say, why, Lord? Amen. But oh, could it be that even in your heart today that there is someone or something that is God is bringing to your mind that you have in essence failed in? That you know that you need to be reconciled to an individual? I'm not saying, amen, that we'll always do everything just right. As Brother Rusty has preached so good, there'll be times we'll speak when we should have kept our mouth shut. Shout amen. There'll be times, amen, that, you know, sometimes you can just you don't even have to open your mouth, but you can have such a body language, amen, that people know you don't like what's going on. Amen. Amen. I used to, when I pastored, I'd get to preaching sometimes, and I could tell just as good when certain individual didn't like what I was preaching. Amen. They'd cross their arms. They'd get that little look on their face. Amen. I'd just hunker on down. Amen. But it was they was trying to convey a message. You know, I don't like what's being said. I don't like what's going on. Sometimes your body language, amen, carries a lot of weight. And you say, well, I didn't say nothing to that individual. I don't know why they're upsetting me. But it could be the way that you didn't say anything to them. The way that you rolled your eyes. Amen. Come on, shout amen. I don't know how sanctified this is. Amen. But one of my girls not long ago kind of rolled her eyes a little bit. And I said, I'll slap them in the back of your head. You do it again. Amen. And said, that don't sound good. Well, I know it don't sound good, but you hadn't rolled her eyes no more. Shout amen. And you see, it's not so much what you say sometimes. It's just your body language. And there begins to be division one with another. We come to church. This should be a haven. This should be a place we gather in to have a move of God. But if we're not careful, amen, you'll come and you'll feel the tension. Amen. You'll feel the division. Why? Because there's somebody there that you've done wrong or that's done you wrong, you feel like, and it needs to be fixed. You can ignore it. You can keep going and try to go over the top of it, but you'll never have a breakthrough yourself until you get it fixed. Every time you see them, every time you're in service with them, hey man, it makes you draw back. Hey man, it makes you want to walk around the other side of the building. Hey man, or whatever happened to the time where we could really hug necks and shake hands and say, I love you and mean it. Stay with me a little while. Hey man, reconciliation. Hey man, you remember. Hey man, that one that you was close to. And maybe all of a sudden, amen, something happens between your children or something happens in your conversation and there begins to be a division. There begins to be a separation. And before long, amen, you don't want to be in the same room with them. You don't want to be around them. Amen, do you realize how miserable you are this morning? Amen. Oh, that God could come down in this service. Amen. And put you back together and reconcile you. You talking about a camp meeting? I remember the story that was told about that evangelist was preaching a revival and said one night he got to preaching and the preacher's wife, amen, got to shouting and said she shouted off the piano, shouted around the church, and the evangelist went over to the pastor and he said, man, we're having revival. And said the pastor said, we're not having revival yet, son. Amen. And got to preaching a few nights later. Amen. And another sister, amen, come up a shouting and a rejoicing and the power of God moving on her. He went over to the pastor and he said, "Now we're having revival." He said, "We're not having revival yet, son." Amen. A few more nights went by and said he got to preaching and said all of a sudden said the pastor's wife come off the piano shouting. And that other sister got up and went to shouting and said they met right in the front of the pulpit, hugged necks and began to apologize and squall and cry. Said the pastor went over to the evangelist and said, "Hey, we're having revival now." Amen. I'm talking about a revival of reconciliation. Getting some things straightened out. Getting some feelings behind you. Getting some things out of your mind. The devil will lie to you. He'll tell you that so-and-so is talking about you, and they won't say one word about you. And you'll believe it so much, till if you ain't careful, you'll start running your mouth against them, and they don't even know what's going on. Amen. That one man's up leading, singing. Preacher comes in, sets down by another preacher. They glance up at him, talk a little bit, laugh a little bit. And the brother that was leading singing goes and sets down, crosses his arms, doesn't get in. Every time he sees that brother, he's just, you know, real distant with him, just knocks him out of the services. Finally, he gets enough nerve, I guess, and goes up to him. "I want to know why you come in and y'all was laughing at me up there trying to lead singing." He said, "What are you talking about?" "Hey, man, what are you talking about?" Said, "We ain't said anything about you. We ain't laughed about you. I saw you look at me, and I knew that you heard me when I messed up on that verse. And you was making fun of me. Come on here now." Amen. What happened is they was able to talk through it, get over it, realize it wasn't nothing but the devil, and be reconciled. There are some things that really do happen. There are some people that really does hurt your feelings. There are some mean, hard words that has been said. But it's time for us to try to come together. Amen. Oh, listen to me. I didn't really want to go this way this morning, but it was like all day yesterday. And this morning, the Lord kept dealing with my heart to preach on reconciliation. Amen. There is a time that you won't be able to shout around it. You won't be able to pray around it. You've got to admit I have failed. I need to go to my brother. I need to get this thing worked out. It's binding up my church. I don't know where you go to church. Amen. But you may be here. Amen. And when you go back to your home church, the services is so tight. Sinners come in and sinners leave. But they do not pray because there's such a binding spirit, such a yoke in that building. Could it be that if you would go to your brother or your sister and say, I'm tired of this. I'm on to get it right. I'm on to put it behind me. I remember when we shouted together. I remember when we rejoiced together. I want things to be like they used to be." Amen. Some of the people that you loved the most when you first got in, today you feel such an uneasiness and even a resentment when you're around them. These boys begin to drift apart somehow. And the further they drift apart, it got to where they had sharp words, no doubt, one with another. The further they went in their own directions, until finally, you know the story, the prodigal son gathered all that his father had gave him, and he goes to that far country of sin. Amen. He is there for a set time. He wastes all of his substance on righteous living. And he finally comes to himself. And he says, "I'm going to go back to my father's house." He arose and he makes his way back to the father's house. Praise God. And so here he is coming down the road. His father has been praying for him. His father has been looking for him. His father has been preparing for him. He's ready for him to come home. He's expecting him to come home. Amen. And so sure enough, when he sees him, he runs out to greet him. Amen. You talking about having a good revival service, a good time. Amen. The prodigal's come home. That one I've been praying for is here. And there's rejoicing, there's feasting, there's dancing. And all of a sudden the elder brother is out in the field and he's out there working and laboring and toiling. And he hears a sound of music and he hears a rejoicing. And he asks one of the servants comes out and he said unto him, "What do these things mean?" What's going on? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And it says, verse 28, and he was angry. Amen. And he was angry. And you may preach him plumb out right here. You may preach him as the hypocrite, the man that went to hell from the church pew. And I understand that aspect. But Brother Rusty, sometimes men make mistakes. Sometimes people don't understand things because they're not looking at them through the right light. It's not that they're such a bad person. It's not that they're such a hypocrite at times. But they just don't understand. The division has grown between these boys so much until even when his brother prays, amen, he's thinking he's up to something. Yeah, he wasted everything and with harlots and riotous living, and now he's going to come back here. And he was angry, and he would not go in. He said, I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going to take part of it. And he even made this statement. The father said, heard that he would not go in, and he went out to where he was and entreated him. I've always loved that word. The Bible said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat them. He didn't take a two before and go out there and beat him over the head. Tell him how sorry he was and low down, get in the house. No, he entreated him. He went out to where he was. He loved his prodigal son just as much as he loved his elder son. He didn't want the elder son now to go out just because the prodigal come in. Well, if they start coming to church here, I'm leaving. Do you think that's God's will? Or do you think you need to be reconciled with your brother? Hey, man, oh, listen to me. That prodigal loved both of them boys. And so he didn't just say, well, if that's the kind of spirit he's got, we don't need him anyway. No, he went out to him. And he said, son, oh, son, listen. Let me talk to you. Let me explain this to you. Daddy, this is what I know. This is what I've heard. This is what I feel. He's hurt me. He said this. He's done that. He said, son, I know, but listen. Amen. He's come home. He's prayed. He was once dead, but now he's alive. He once was lost, but now he's found. And as he began to talk with him, he said, neither transgressed I at any time. Amen. I don't believe that, you. Neither transgressed I at any time. But you see, when you start looking at somebody that you're critical of, if you're not careful, you'll build yourself up a whole lot higher than you really are. And so he begins to say, you know, hey, I've stayed here, I've done this, I've done that, I've kept the lights on, that's great. But your brother's come home. Amen. I'm preaching about reconciliation. Amen. And the Bible closes here with the father talking to the son. But I can't help but think that he took him by the hand and led him to meet his brother. Amen. Amen. I can just see them as they begin to be reconciled. As the one brother, the prodigal, may have said, I'm sorry for everything I've said and done. And the other just grabbed him up and said, it's okay. I'm sorry, amen, that I didn't pray more for you. Amen, I'm sorry I said what I did when I left. I'm sorry I said what I did. Amen, and there begin to be a reconciliation. You know all we need to do is be reconciled to have a revival. Your church need revival. You need a move of God. Oh, that God would give us the know-how to pray, to put people back together, to put situations back together. Amen. You may have heard the story about the two little brothers that grew up together and played together. They grew up during the time of the Civil War, and when they got of age, they began to separate. And trouble come between them, and one fought for the North and one fought for the South. And so this is what they call the Civil War Ballad. Amen. It's the story of two brothers. Said, once two little boys had two little toys. Each had a wooden horse. Gaily they'd play each summer day, soldier boys, of course. One little chap had a mishap. He broke off his horse's head, wept for his toy, then cried with joy when his young comrade said, do you think I'd leave you crying when there's room on my horse for two? Hop on, dear Jack, and don't be sighing. he'll go just as well with two. Maybe someday we'll both be soldiers and our horses will not be toys. And it may be that we'll remember when we were two little boys. Long years have passed, war came at last, bravely they marched away. Cannons roared loud amid the mad crowd, wounded and dying Jack lay. Loud rings the cry, a horse dashes by, and out of the ranks of blue, gallops away to where Jack lay, and a voice rang clear and true. Do you think I would leave you dying when there's room on my horse for two? Jump up, dear Jack, and don't be sighing. He'll go just as well with two. Do you say, Jack, I'm all a tremble? Well, it may be the battle's noise, or it may be that I remember when we were two little boys. Amen. Don't you remember when you were two little boys? Don't you remember, amen, those times of fellowship? Amen. Oh, to be reconciled one more time. To come together and say, let's start over. Amen. Let's do it for God. Let's make this a soul-saving station. Amen. It's time that God helps you to be reconciled with your brother. Amen. I'm fixing to close. Amen. And there, years ago, Dad used to tell the story. You may have heard it. About the two brethren, it was at odds. They couldn't get along, Brother Shaw. Time went on, one sat on one side of the church, one on the other. And it was just causing a terrible bind in the church. The pastor got to praying about what to do. When they first got in, they was the best of friends. The time went on and separation came. That pastor came in there and praying, Lord, what I do? Both of them live good. Both of them seem to love God, but they just don't love one another. And how can we say we love God if we don't love one another? God, give me wisdom and show me how to handle this. So one day he goes over to Brother Brown's house. And he gets to talking to him. He said, Brother Brown, he said, I tell you, that Brother Smith said he sure is faithful to church, isn't he? Don't even mention his name in my house. He said, well, I know you know there's some problems there, but you got to admit one thing about him. He is faithful. Every time the church doors is open, he's faithful. He's at church. He said, that's about the only good thing I can say about him. He is faithful. So he goes over to the other man's house. And he said, hey, I was just over to Mr. Jones' house and said, don't mention his name. I don't want to hear you say, wait a minute. I was over there and guess what he said about you? It probably wasn't no good. He said, he told me that one thing he could say about you is you was faithful to church. He said that about me. I said, yeah. He said, well, one thing I can say about him, he keeps the grass cut, keeps the church looking good. That's about the only good thing. So he goes back over to Miss Smith's house. Hey, or Jones, which way it is, and got over there. And he said, hey, I was over at so-and-so's house. And we got to talking, and he said, the churchyard sure looks good. And said, you do a great job keeping it up. He said that about me? He said, yeah. He said, well, he's a good altar worker. I'll give him that. So he goes back over there. He says, you know, I was back over there. He said, you sure know how to pray in them altars and work in them altars. Is that right? I said, yeah. I said, well, you know one thing I like about him? He sure can testify good. I like to hear him testify. And he goes back over there. And before long, he said, next Sunday rolled around and they were sitting arm to arm in the church. Amen. And the Lord was a-moving and the Spirit was a-moving. Amen. Somebody got reconciled. Can you find good in them? Amen. Can you begin to work on it and say, Lord, I don't want to feel this way toward them. I want to get it worked out. You may have the long sleeves and all that's good on the outside. But if you got an ought against your brother on the inside, you're a miserable creature. But oh, to be reconciled this morning. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Amen.